I wonder, what is your message to Hezbollah and its backer, Iran?
Don't
come across the border. Don't escalate this war.
That's right.
Didn't. That didn't work. So what now? Well, again, the front page of the Washington Post today headline, Biden counsels Netanyahu to avoid regional escalation as Israel mulls answer to Iran. Allies pushing for restraint. Yeah, just sit there and let the Ayatollahs pummel you. Of course, the air defenses were spectacular. Iron Dome, the Aero defense system, and airborne assets, apparently including U.S. warplanes, knocking down the many drones that Iran had in the air, and the anti-missile systems, knocking down cruise missiles and so on, sent at Israel. Now, thankfully, we have Stephen still holding on the line very patiently, and I apologize, Stephen, calling from Jerusalem, Israel, and Stephen was just telling us about Saturday night about 10 p.m., and they're getting word that drones had been launched by Iran out of Iran from maybe 1,000 miles away, going to take hours to get there, knowing that that would only be one phase of this, right, Stephen? When you saw that, you said, well, that's not the whole thing. There's going to be more than that, right?
Well, let me tell you, something that was really scary during the ordeal and a couple of hours into it, when they started to analyze this on the news media, something did scare me. They indicated that this is the same tactic that Putin used on the Ukraine, that he started to do this with the drones and then followed by heavier missiles. Of course, the Ukraine doesn't have the defense system, but that was the big worry. I was really concerned that there was going to be a barrage of heavier missiles. And what they were trying to do, and this is what Hamas tried to do also, is they tried to overload the defense system. Thankfully, the defense system worked flawlessly. It really did. And that's not the only thing Israel has. You know, they don't show all their cards only when necessary.
Right.
And hopefully the underlying thing is it did demonstrate a deterrence. You know, this was a fairly easy operation. The warnings from Home Front Command were not to go to the grocery store and load up. It's going to the shelters when you get the siren. We were used to it from the Gaza War. We did get a siren in Jerusalem. I did see a big flash come to learn that it was the defense system launching from over the old city. I don't know where the launcher was. But it was scary for a while. And then about midnight, I think, our time, or I could have lost track of time, one or two, it went from like 10 to 2, that the reports were coming out that they said to the UN, okay, that's it. When you look at the whole thing, we took out their high-level guys. The Syria thing was a high-level hit. That's why they got so angry. All right, so there was raining down machinery all over the Middle East because all the incoming drones and the missiles were blown up in the sky, and then it's like having the equivalent of pipes from a building start falling down all over. That's actually why we have to go into the shelter for the falling debris.
That's interesting because the Iron Dome and the Aero surface-to-air missiles that knock down the incoming, there are still lots of steel debris falling, and that can kill you and go through your roof and wreck your house too. So even if the warheads are not expected to explode on you, there is still the heavy debris, which is steel, and that'll kill you too.
Yeah, certainly. The other thing I wanted to tell you is during this, as soon as we heard the big boom, I heard the boom, I felt the boom. It was really close by. And then the siren came. But I went out on my porch, my patio, and I overlook Silwan. I don't know if you know geographically Israel and the old city. There's me, Armon and Nassib. There's Sildwan in the valley. It's an Arab neighborhood. And then there's the old city. And and when the first boom came in the launch, the Palestinians went out and started celebrating, cheering, shooting off fireworks, you know, knowing that Dupri could fall down on their kid. It was just, you know, you want to talk about left-wing lunacy, it exists here too.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm glad that you brought that up. I mean, there are so many things to talk about. I could talk to you for hours, I have no doubt. But you had the explosion, you're seeing the flashes in the sky. It's a 10 p.m. to 2 p.m., 2 a.m. rather, event, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. event for you. You're in Jerusalem. You overlook the old city, which is a great place to be, an amazing place to be. Boy, I, you know, last time there, I stayed at the King David Hotel, maybe in your neighborhood, and what an amazing hotel, amazing history, and what a great perch overlooking the old city, and how amazing is the old city, just a remarkable place to live. Now, you're originally from the United States.
Yep, I live in. I'm originally from Silver Spring,
and you're in. That's right, and you're in Israel now. And you know, I mean, it's quite an adventure living in Israel.
It is. There's never a dull moment. And you know, when it comes to Israel being attacked, now going back, this history goes so far back. But one of the things in modern day Israel, since the creation of the state of Israel, they've always had an answer to terror. And I want to give an example. Like, there was when bombs would be left in a trash can. So what they have is public trash cans on the street. That was, if you go back in history, I think it was the early 70s maybe, that was the invent, then Israeli invented the concrete encased trash can. So when you go into the street and you say, you know, public trash can in the street, it's encased, many are encased with concrete. So if a bomb goes off, it goes up. So they've always, from one step to another, there's always been an answer. I never in my wildest dreams thought about something, the Iron Dome. And the laser thing that is, nobody knows if it's really ready or not. Nobody's really talking, you know. But when that laser thing comes out, instead of costing, you know, $100,000 or $200,000 to take out a missile in the sky, it's going to cost $2.
Yeah.
And that's going to be a big game changer. And I don't know. It could be operational. Years ago, from people that I know on the inside said, yeah, it works, and then they lost their funding, and now it's on the fast track. So I really don't know. There's one other thing I wanted to say before I take over your show, is a message to Biden, because, you know, with this don't thing, you know, I think Biden should go out to the mall, get himself a nice new Nike warm-up suit, new Nike sneakers, and just tell Israel to just do it.
Yeah.
Okay. Take the Nike clothes and just do it. Just do it. Let them get it done.
Well, this is a battle for a civilization, and Netanyahu is one of the great leaders of our era, and he is standing up and standing strong for civilization itself, which is, make no mistake about it, what is under attack when it comes to the Ayatollahs and their proxies from Hamas and Hezbollah to the Houthis. It is civilization itself that is under assault, and Joe Biden doesn't recognize that, and he is not up to the task. Also, you know, Stephen, what you're describing, you're talking about the laser weapons on the precipice. All of this goes back to Ronald Reagan, and the left mocked him and attacked Ronald Reagan for
the Star Wars thing.
That's right,
Star Wars
missile defense. It was Strategic Defense Initiative (SDI). The left mockingly labeled it Star Wars because of the Star Wars movies. Oh, and this is all idiocy. And it's because of Ronald Reagan's Strategic Defense Initiative and the technology that was developed under the rubric of missile defense that led to, and I know Israel took it over and advanced it and developed it, but it's the starting point of all of this is Ronald Reagan's Strategic Defense Initiative, which the Democrats, the left, mocked and ridiculed and tried to defund and undo at the time because it made too much sense, and the left was not on our side during Ronald Reagan. They were not on our side during the Vietnam War, and they're not on our side now. And again, the great Ronald Reagan, it got the ball rolling with all of this, including laser weapons, which now you're talking about, Stephen, Israel being on the precipice of deploying in real-world situations. and knocking the incoming out of the sky with, as you said, a $2 burst of energy instead of a $200,000 missile. And you know, you got to start these things because sometimes technology like this and developing things like this takes decades and generations. But you have to start them. The left will try to undo you all along the way because they're not on our side.
Okay. I agree 100%. Listen, I want to thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to hear it firsthand from here. It's really important. It's really important to all of us. All of you listeners, please go out there and vote for Trump. This is civilization. This is a battle between good and evil.
It is.
And that's it. And you cannot appease, you cannot make friends with evil. Evil needs to be eliminated.
That's exactly right. God bless you, Stephen. I'm grateful you called in. Thank you very much. And when you get back to the neighborhood, give me a call so that
I'm not coming back there. I'll call in. No way. Forget that.
Well, then call in and keep us updated because I really, really appreciate your checking in, honestly.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, buddy. He's not coming back. That's great. He's going to stay where it's peaceful and sane, you know, in that wild. Now, since we were just talking about all these mental cases, the Democrats and the left and so on, let me go to the Chicago gang of radical leftists who are perfectly mainstream Democrats that were gathering in Chicago to plot their disruption of the Democratic National Convention, where Joe Biden will presumably maybe be their nominee. And again, we got a radical Islamist attacking a bishop in Australia, stabbing him repeatedly. We had another man stab like a dozen people in a shopping mall and killed seven, I think, in Sydney, Australia. And the police aren't letting on, you know, whether he was yelling Allahu Akbar or whatever. And usually when they're not letting on, that's a clue. That's a clue that the facts are not politically correct. And that's, you know, political correctness is an extreme danger to civilization, too. But let's go to Haitham Abdullaya. And Haitham Abdullaya is with a pro-Palestinian group. And his first name is literally H-A-T-E-M. So it's probably Hatem. But I prefer Haitham because it's more appropriate. His name is something of an onomatopoeia. And Haitham and the gang in Chicago plotting, and now they're left-wingers, they're all going to vote Democrat, but they are gathering to plot violence at the, and they'll lie about that. No, just disruptions. Yeah, they're First Amendment rights. It's always, when they're rioting, it's always mostly peaceful, and it's their First Amendment right. But let's go to Haitham Abdullaya, because he was at the podium when they found out that Iran had launched a bunch of drones that are now headed at a relatively low rate of speed. I was with my best girl. I said, well, these things take hours to get there. They're 1,000 miles away-ish. And they're going to launch much faster missiles once the drones are close to being incoming. And it will be a layered, staggered, it's not just going to be the drones, which are so easy to knock down. But here is Haitham Abdullaya.
12 days ago, Israel brazenly hit an Iranian embassy compound in Syria.
Israel's the bad guy. They hit
violating
brazenly.
International law again.
Again, Israel.
Violating international law again. And Iran has just responded about 30 minutes ago.
Iran has responded about 30 minutes ago. Now, I've got more from Haitham for you that I'm going to share. And these are people that consider themselves liberals. They are Democrat voters. They're Democrat Party supporters. They're violent, criminally insane, as so many of them are. And I've got more from Haitham coming up, because this is the Democrat Party today. They struck the embassy. Boy, I remember when Iranians took over the American embassy on November 4th, 1979. I think that got the ball rolling, didn't it? You know, that baseball season has actually started. Ain't that great? And that puts us right in the middle of tax season, too. fact, what's the date today? It's April 15th. You know what that means? You've heard all the horror stories, too. They never end well, those horror stories. Let me tell you about my friends at Legal Tax Defense. If you have unfiled back taxes or if you owe the IRS $10,000 or more, then call the legal experts at Legal Tax Defense. You can't do this yourself. They have a team of tax attorneys and legal professionals that, you know, will help guide you through the complicated tax codes and your legal troubles. The IRS recently announced increased collection activity for the 2023 tax year, especially with the deadline now. With former IRS tax attorneys and expert tax professionals, Legal Tax Defense is gearing up for this activity, this additional IRS activity, to help protect you. That's what they get out of bed for in the morning. Call them today. Don't procrastinate. Call 800-472-0467. Call now to get qualified for your tax relief options. Call the experts at Legal Tax Defense now. The call is confidential and it's free. 800-472-0467. Online at LegalTaxDefense.com. Yeah, I've got more from Haydom coming up because the Democrat Party. And then support of self-immolation in the name of political protest coming from a university campus in California. That's coming up too. Hey, it's Chris Plant. Excited to tell you about our July 2024 Listener Sea Cruise. We'll be sailing around the British Isles, visiting Scotland and Ireland. Please join us. Visit ChrisPlantCruise.com.
Afford Anything talks about how to avoid common pitfalls, how to refine your mental models, and how to think about how to think.
Paula, while certainly you can mess up on $1 million a year, it is far less likely than it is on $30,000 a year.
Right.
I would meet wonderful people that were struggling with a budget that was super tight. It was 100%. You need to make more money.
Make smarter choices and build a better life.
Afford Anything, wherever you listen.
Now, speaking of Chicago, as we are, and I'm going to get back to Haydom, the Iranian attack on Israel with hundreds of drones, missiles, rockets fired at Israel. There were no fatalities in Israel, no fatalities. There was one 7-year-old girl wounded in the attack, and she is a Bedouin. So she's an Arab. She is of the Bedou. And the 7-year-old Bedouin girl in the desert was injured by shrapnel, which is, she's a 7-year-old girl, and obviously horrible and terrible. Now, at the same time, it should be noted that in Chicago over the weekend, 43 shot, 8 dead. Just another weekend in Chicago. The St. Valentine's Day Massacre was 7 people killed. They were all gangsters. Now, various news reports, 8 dead, 40 others wounded, 43 shot, 7 dead. They're still sorting out the numbers because it was so violent in Chicago. I'm going to get back to the Democrats in Chicago next. Democrats give us so much crazy. Yeah, lunatic Democrats have shut down the entrance to Chicago's O'Hare Airport. I don't know if they've glued themselves to the ground, but they might as well have. And it's because they're, you know, pro-terrorists. They're pro-Islamic jihadi. Protests outside O'Hare Airport blocks traffic. People seen walking to terminals because the entrance to Chicago's O'Hare Airport is completely shut down because the Democrats are pro-Hamas and they're anti-Jew. That's the thing about them. You're a Democrat Party. They're not on our side. By the way, in Chicago, I was just sharing you know, I told you that the attack on Israel led to one 7-year-old girl Arab girl, Bedouin girl, being wounded, injured. But in Chicago, a 7-year-old girl was killed over the weekend. One of dozens shot and more than a half dozen murdered. Chicago much more dangerous this weekend than Israel, while Israel was under attack by Iran, which is run by genocidal anti-Semites, and Chicago much more dangerous because Democrats. Let's get back to our lunatics in Chicago, because these people, we've got the pro-Hamas people marching in Ann Arbor, Michigan. We've got in Chicago, Illinois, the pro-Hamas, pro-Iran. I mean, they hear that Iran is attacking Israel, and they immediately started chanting in favor of Iran. And they're Democrats, and they say they're pro-Palestine. All right. What's more dangerous, the Gaza or Chicago? Here's Haitham Abdullah. Haitham Abdullah is out to get you.
This is from the Iranian Revolutionary Guard directly. They've sent drones and missiles against specific targets in occupied Palestine, Israeli targets in occupied Palestine. And they believe that they will be in Palestinian, I don't call it Israeli airspace, Palestinian airspace between 2 and 4 a.m., which means in about between 2 and 4 hours from now. It's 12 midnight in Palestine right now. In addition, there are reports of drones having been fired on Israel from Yemen and Iraq and Yemen.
The FBI is not investigating these people. This is the Arab American Action Network with Haitham Abdullah. And they're cheering Yemen, the Houthis, who are a Stone Age gang of mongrels that would chop babies' heads off all day long. And the Democrats are cheering them, applauding, cheering, and Yemen is launching. And one of the concerns was that Hezbollah in Lebanon with the thousands and thousands of missiles and rockets would join in at the same time in a coordinated effort. But don't ever think that anything is over, because nothing is ever over. And the IRGC, the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps, and their war against the Jews.
This is when this country and the world needs us, because the United States is going to quote unquote defend the criminal Israeli state. And we have to assume that the United States is going to try to retaliate against Iran.
The criminal Israeli state, and we have his call is to, this is when we need to stop the United States. We need to stop the U.S. These are enemies of the United States. Haitham Abdullah is an enemy of the United States, of the Arab American Action Network. He's an enemy, obviously, of Israel. He's a genocidal racist, and he is a Democrat in good standing with the Democrat Party and the American news media. Haitham Abdullah, and they pretend this is all, of course, under the false veil of being anti-war, when in reality, what they're doing is they're doing downfield defense for Iran and for their proxies, Hamas and the Houthis. A round of applause for the Houthis firing on Israel.
Our anti-war movement, all of the anti-war committees here, all of the Palestine support coalitions here must be ready immediately to be out in the streets and to stop the U.S. from expanding this war on Iran.
That's right. Yeah, woo. We're pro-Iran. This is mainstream Democrat Party. The barbarians are inside the gates. They call themselves liberals. That's a lie. They're not liberals. Mm. And they talk about being anti-war and stopping the war. That's not true. They want to stop war against Islamists. They, because they know the Islamists, being primitive and barbaric, will have the floor mopped with them by a superior culture that is Israel. That's right, I said a superior culture. That's because it's obviously true. Let's compare Nobel Prizes. Let's compare inventions. Let's compare families. Let's compare centuries of behavior. And then let's compare weeks of behavior. Here is Haitham Abdallah.
We are responsible now. We are responsible to stop the United States. We are responsible to stop the United States from expanding this war and leaving Iran.
Woo, yay, we need to stop the war against the troglodytes because we're on the side of the troglodytes and we need to obstruct, and that's your, that is, now it gets better though, because at UCLA, have you heard of it? It's a university in California, University of California at Los Angeles. It's remarkable, and they have people there that pretend to be smart people. They are academics. They're involved in all kinds of crazy stuff. But the while all this is going on around the country, and the death to America, death to Israel gang, Democrat Party, right in the middle of all this, there is something going on at UCLA. And at UCLA, a group of geniuses were gathered. Where is my story on this now? A group of geniuses, they're psychiatrists. They gathered, the Washington Free Beacon has the story and the Washington Post doesn't because they don't cover the news. Revolutionary suicide is the headline, and that's in quotation marks. UCLA psychiatrists, plural, cheer self-immolation in leaked video. Now, what kind of Christians would do this? Well, fear not. They're not Christians. A medical school talk glorified self-harm and violated CDC guidance, experts say. Wait a minute. CDC guidance was violated? UCLA, University of California, Los Angeles Medical School Psychiatry Department hosted a talk earlier this month that glorified self-immolation. It's funny, I've had a couple of conversations recently with people who are like, what is self-immolation? Self-immolation is when you or someone else drenches themselves in gasoline and then lights themselves on fire like six Buddhist monks did in Vietnam during the Vietnam War. We're only up to two Democrats so far, but 2 years ago on Earth Day, a Democrat showed up at the Supreme Court on Earth Day because he came from Colorado. He was upset with people putting smoke into the air, so he drenched himself in a flammable liquid, presumably gasoline, and set himself on fire on the plaza, the steps, basically, in front of the Supreme Court. And he died several days later, a horrible and painful and terrible death. And a matter of weeks ago now, here in Washington, D.C., a Democrat who is a member of the United States Air Force showed up at the Israeli embassy protesting in favor of Palestine, where he doused himself in flammable liquids, and he posted a video of himself. Then he set himself on fire and killed himself because he's pro-Hamas and anti-Israel. Well, he was, past tense, pro-Hamas and anti-Israel.
Free Palestine! Free Palestine! Free Palestine! Free Palestine!
That's him. That's actually him as he's burning. He had just ignited himself, and he couldn't speak for long because the cilia in his lungs being seared off by the flames that he was inhaling since he just self-immolated. He ignited himself. Now, at UCLA, the psychiatry of all schools there, it should at least be the art school or, liberal studies or something, but they glorified self-immolation at UCLA as a form of revolutionary suicide. Now, the story in the Washington Free Beacon says, raising concerns from prominent doctors and deepening a public relations crisis that has embroiled the elite medical school, the talk called depathologizing resistance. These people need to be jailed or deported or whatever we can do with them, was delivered on April 2nd by two psychiatry residents at UCLA, Dr. Ragda Izar and Dr. Afaf Mustafa, under the auspices of the department's diversity office and UCLA's Health Ethics Center, because it's ethical to self-immolate. Now, here are the two UCLA psychiatry professors, Dr. Ragda Izar and Dr. Afaf Mustafa.
Community organizers really came together and emphasized that, you know, this was a person who was an active duty Air Force member. And yes, he carried a lot of guilt. And yes, he carried a lot of distress. But does that mean that the actions that he engaged in are any less valid? The underlying question was basically, is it not normal to be distressed when you're seeing this level of carnage for, at this point, 6 months?
Now, to be distressed, you see, it's legitimate because the U.S. Air Force enlisted person who self-immolated, killed himself at the Israeli embassy to protest Israel defending itself against the end of civilization. And this lunatic set himself on fire. And they are rationalizing and justifying it for him because they're extremist radicals and they're a danger to civilization. And their depathologizing resistance thing is all about how it's okay to self-immolate, to die, to kill yourself, because this Air Force idiot was so traumatized by something that he didn't see. We're not even showing it on television. You can't even find the horrors on the internet, which has been cleansed of what the troglodytes did to the Jewish people there. And so he watched a little CNN, and then he went and set himself on fire, Dr. Ragda Izar.
It's usually seen as a manifestation of mental illness, specifically when it happens here.
Duh.
In the context of sociopolitical events. So again, we kind of praise people who do it over there, but when it happens here, not so much.
We do?
And I think that speaks to, you know, the West often wanting to discredit forms of resistance that want to hold certain people in power accountable for their actions and the way that their oppressive policies target marginalized communities.
Oppressive policies target marginalized communities. I'd like to marginalize your psychotic mustachioed ass, I'll tell you that much. She said, we praise people when they do it over there. Maybe you do, you psychopath. My God, these people are being paid huge sums of money by UCLA to be psychiatrists and professors of medicine. And this is they're endorsing self-immolation as a form of political protest against the Jews.
In the same way that we shouldn't be commenting on political candidates who are running for president as much as we may want to, it raises the question of what authority do we have as psychiatrists to publicly comment on instances of revolutionary suicide and other acts of resistance?
Revolutionary suicide and other acts of resistance, which the lunatics in Chicago were plotting out at the Teamsters headquarters, in their conspiracy to bring violence to the Democratic Convention in Chicago. And the FBI is spying on Catholic churches. And our biggest problem is white supremacists. Name a white supremacist. Name a white supremacist act. Honestly. Then Dr. Afaf Mustafa.
It's considered illness to choose to die in protest of the violence of war, but perfectly safe to choose to die in service of the violence of war.
She sounds like a Valley girl. Honestly. So that's your Democrat Party. They're plotting violence at the DNC. They're supporting Iran. They're supporting Hamas. They're applauding the Houthi rebels firing on Israel. They're cheering revolutionary suicide in the form of self-immolation. We praise it when people do it over there. We need to start praising it here. Again, a Democrat self-immolated at the Supreme Court on Earth Day 2 years ago. A Democrat self-immolated at the Israeli embassy a matter of weeks ago. They're both dead. And you've got, you know, Mustafa and Aziz praising it at UCLA as psychiatrists, as revolutionary suicide, as though it's a really good thing. We praise it over there. No, we don't. You do. Some might call it mental illness. Yeah, put me in that club, doctor.
Bro! on fire, stupid!
Now, one gang of Democrats is shutting down the entrance to Chicago's O'Hare Airport in favor of jihad today. In Crystal City, Virginia, just across the Potomac River from Washington, D.C., by the Pentagon, a gang of Democrats is there protesting outside Boeing, anti-military contractors, and they're screaming and yelling. Hey, hey, ho, ho, the occupation's got to go, and they're outside the Boeing headquarters there because they're anti-us, they're anti-civilization. Speaking of anti-us, David Hogg, remember David Hogg? He was a teenager, and his school was shot up by a psychopath, and the Democrats have turned him into a child prophet. You know, he's like the Greta von Thunberg of guns, and they use these children as their vessels to advance their crazy causes. And David Hogg, the left-wing prophet, the child prophet, was speaking, and a Chinese-American wonderful immigrant, Lily Tang Williams, showed up and asked David Hogg about taking away our guns.
Hi, my name is Lily Tang Williams. Welcome to my live free or die state. Actually, I am a Chinese immigrant who survived communism. And under Mao, you know, 40 million people were starving to death after he sold communism to them. And 20 million people died, murdered during his Cultural Revolution. So my question to you, David, is that can you guarantee me a gun owner tonight? Our government in the U.S., in D.C., will never, never become a tyrannical government. Can you guarantee that to me?
Guarantee that.
There's no way I can ever guarantee that any government will not be tyrannical.
Well, then the debate on gun control is over because I will never give up my guns. Never, never. And you should go to China to see how gun control works for dictatorship of CCP.
That is Lily Tang Williams. She is running for Congress in New Hampshire, and she's got my vote. Although I don't live in New Hampshire, so, you know, I can't really do that. But I would vote for her if I could. And she explains the Cultural Revolution, where tens of millions were murdered by the Chinese who were bringing about utopia, just like the left here in the United States is doing now. Remarkable stuff. And Lily Tang Williams, wonderful moment. David Hogg, and that was not David Hogg laughing. It was somebody else in the room. And he said, no, I can't guarantee that the government won't become tyrannical in the future. Lily Tang Williams, a great American, much better than David Hogg is likely to ever be, says, well, then the debate over the Second Amendment is done, because if you can't guarantee that the government will never become tyrannical, then I'm holding on to my gun, Lily Tang Williams.
The Bigger Pockets portfolio of podcasts are worthy of your investment.
We're having a real conversation as real estate investors.
New episodes available every day.
It's important to buy where it makes money and not necessarily where you want to travel to.
Bigger Pockets, On the Market, Rookie Real Estate, or Money Podcast.
The purpose of flipping is to create more cash so then you can reinvest into other types of properties.
The Bigger Pockets podcast on YouTube or wherever you listen.